5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here live from Herman Park Golf Course, where the Lucille's 1913 golf tournament is going to go down. We'll tell you about that in a little bit. But Lance is in Boston. I am here in Houston. And Stephen Nesbitt is joining us from The Athletic. MLB is a senior writer, major league writer for The Athletic. Stephen, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, I hate that the Yankees found something called a Nestor Cortez. I do not like that, not one bit. I like what they found in Gerrit Cole, which is a guy now that we have a pretty big sample size, Stephen. That since he doesn't have spider tech, he's not very good. Is this a big enough sample size to say Gerrit Cole was really dependent on that spider tech?
I don't know, because he wasn't all bad last year. You know, the evidence is there to certainly suggest that he was better with whatever he was using, but things have cracked down. What's interesting is if you look at sort of on the granular level of his pitches and what they're doing and the expected success against them, well, he's still got some of the best stuff of any starter out there, but you're right. Despite having some pretty good numbers last year, I think he ended up 16 wins and somewhere in the 3.2s ERA-wise. Definitely took a hit midsummer before, I think, rounding into form down the stretch. And then this season, he's carrying around a 6 ERA after two starts. So definitely some concern in New York. But given the rotation they have, I think they're going to need him to get back into looking like the horse that they expected. Because despite having a Nestor Cortez, a Jordan Montgomery, a Jameson Taillon, there's a lot of potential in that rotation. But Gerrit Cole is really the only sure thing. You toss in Luis Severino as well, who's had a lot of injury history. They need Gerrit Cole to be Gerrit Cole.
I tell you what, I hope he's not. I hope he's this version of Gerrit Cole as an Astros fan, obviously. but I do want to get to – I want to bring it to our team here in Houston. And when you look at the rotation, how do you view this rotation? Obviously, Justin Verlander's last start was unbelievable and a sign that he has that premier number one stuff left. We'll see if he can keep it throughout the year. But once you get past Justin Verlander, and let's just throw out Jake Odorizzi, when you look at Fromber and Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy, how do you, as somebody outside of Houston, view the Houston Astros rotation? What do you think of it?
Yeah, I think, especially going into the playoffs last season, it felt like this rotation was overlooked, especially Framber Valdez. It's such a talent he has. As a lefty, he has a little bit of everything in his repertoire, his arsenal. And I think Luis Garcia has been overlooked for quite some time now. So I'm not real concerned about this rotation as it stands now. The concern was, is Verlander going to be the Verlander we saw prior to the Tommy John? And he looks every bit of it. I grew up in Michigan. I grew up watching vintage Justin Verlander, and it still looks like shades of that same guy despite being 39 years old. So I like the way the rotation shapes up. You know, a huge question mark looking ahead to Lance McCullers, what kind of condition is he going to be in, when do they get him back. But you know, when he's back and you maybe pop Odorizzi out of that rotation, I still think that's, you know, as good of a five as you're going to see for around most of the league. So I think there's a lot of arrows pointing up in that rotation.
The Astros are heading to a six-man rotation, more than likely. Steven Nesbitt with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. They play 33 games in 34 days starting on Friday. What do you think of going to the six-man?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of teams do that, and it's a product of the schedule here. It's a bit compressed. They lost the first week of the season. They need to make up some games. We're going to see doubleheaders beginning not too distant future. And so we're seeing it all over the league. And so I suppose it's not a bad idea at this point in the season. I don't think you'd want to have it going down the stretch unless you had a real comfortable lead in August and September. So I guess this is the time to do it. But it's what we're going to have to get used to after seeing a shortened spring training and an off season in which guys didn't, and all of us really had no clue when the season was going to start. So no issue, certainly, with them trying it now, but you hope it doesn't last too long because you want your best pitchers pitching the most innings out there.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of teams can handle it, to tell you the truth. The Astros can, no. With Christian Javier, yep. Right? And if Jake Odorizzi can possibly throw in some good starts every once in a while, that'd be nice. But the Astros can handle it. There are a lot of teams that can't handle a six-man rotation, Steven.
No, they really can't. I was looking around the league here, and this is my first year playing fantasy baseball since middle school, which was a little while ago, even for me. And it's pretty funny looking through, the free agency and the waivers on those leagues and saying, "Oh, that guy's starting now." They're getting strikes, and you take a look, and they says, "Yeah, they're going for a six man rotation for a little while." We had a bunch of off days early just because they leave some space in case of rainouts, which of course we get here. I'm in Pittsburgh, so in the Midwest we get plenty of rainouts. But yeah, you're going to get all sorts of guys who aren't even really built up to go 6-7 innings. Even the best guys right now aren't really built up that far. That you'll get a lot of these six starters who maybe go 3 innings and then you bring in a piggyback. We're seeing this even in Atlanta where they have a good rotation. Last night we saw Spencer Strider was a really top prospect. He came in and he carried, I think, 4 innings in relief. So you're just going to have a bunch of these guys built up to go 3, 4, maybe 5 innings if they're efficient. And it's a little bit strange at a time when we're already losing the dominance and the art, I think, of starting pitching. The way the lockout has compressed things and as short spring training has compressed things is only going to really exaggerate the sharp decline of starting pitching.
Steven Nesbitt with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're watching a really hot start, a great start by our guy Jeremy Pena, who's got, some big shoes to fill here. It'll be interesting to see what kind of reception he gets in the Astros' first home game tonight. Name some other guys that have impressed you early on here, some rookies that are coming, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but they're rookies and making their first major league appearance. Who's impressed you so far?
Yeah, there are a couple around the league that have been just fantastic, and you have to start with Pena. This is a guy who had the weight of so many expectations on his shoulders. Of course, with Correa leaving and the Astros saying, no, we're really, truly okay with going ahead with Jeremy Pena, and he's been great starting off at a time when the Astros offense really isn't clicking on all cylinders yet. You know, they're going to get there. There are some guys, Yuli Gurriel is a good example that we expect a lot more coming from him just from a contact standpoint. Yordan Alvarez has been injured. And so I think this offense is going to be a lot better, and he's really helped keep them going in the first couple weeks of the season. But around the league, you got to look at Matt Brash at Seattle. He had, I think, two starts now, and this kid's got a ton of potential. He's got a big fastball, and he's got, you know, one of the best sliders we've seen going. Just great stuff there. He walked, I think, 5 guys in 5-plus innings yesterday, but he didn't give him his first hit until the 6th inning. And he was great. Tyler Megill in New York, the Mets. The Mets have had sort of similar to the Astros, a lot of injury problems, but they are really focused on, of course, Jacob deGrom being out. And they've had 6 starters start already as well, and Tyler Megill has been great. This is a guy who was certainly touted as a prospect, but not one of the top five in the league or anything like that. And he's been great to watch. I mean, seeing rookies up on opening day is such a strange blessing for us baseball fans. It's not something we're used to. We're used to seeing the service time manipulation game happening. And whether this was something that changed in the lockout, or owners just deciding, you know what, games are so important. We see so many races come down to the last day. We probably should stop giving away games in April as unimportant. And so those three really, Pena, Brash, and McGill have been great. And then I want to also throw in Stephen Kwan, outfielder for the Cleveland Guardians. This guy had the last couple days were a little more rough, but he started off with a historic pace. I don't remember the stat exactly, but it was something like he reached base more times in the first six games of his career than I think anybody else. Maybe Jay Bruce is in that same conversation. But this guy is a contact machine, and he didn't strike out for his first something like, I don't remember what it was, at least the first week in the majors. So Stephen Kwan's another one to watch out of Cleveland.
Yeah. Stephen Nesbitt, our guest from The Athletic. And, Stephen, I want to ask you a future of baseball question from a standpoint of where the league is headed. We saw this is the first time where baseball that's historically been behind the curve when it comes to changes that might benefit the league. They're obviously, that's just a typical of baseball fan in general. But now we've got DHs in both leagues. Now we've seen baseball more willing to take some opportunities to change some of the rules here and there, and pandemic helped with that. Do you see baseball reducing schedule from 162 to 152, 140, 142? You're starting to play at the owner's money a little bit there potentially, which would also mean you're playing with the player's money. But do you think that that could be something that we see in the next 5 to 10 years?
I mean, potentially. We have 5 years until the next CBA comes. You're right. That's the biggest question of all this is the money, everyone's revenues. The owners certainly have gone up over the last two decades, especially. The players would like their money to keep going up and up, and they made some significant gains in that direction during the CBA negotiations here, especially for younger players. So the instant you start, players get paid per game, and they, are suspended and without pay, it's a per game prorated amount. And so, yeah, you start dropping down to 152. All right, maybe you basically get the same salary. If we start dropping to, the 120 range, well, that's a pretty significant number. So I personally wouldn't mind baseball dropping games. It's a huge number, obviously double what basketball and hockey do. I haven't heard of any indication in that direction. We're going to see even more standardizing, I suppose you could call it, next year when they make a more standard schedule. I think we're going from 20 interleague games to 46 was the number that Ken Rosenthal put out there on his podcast this morning. Interleague games for every team every year. So you're going to face everyone every single year. And so as they do try to standardize things, I wouldn't be shocked if in the future, once we start deciding that, we don't need to have 162 games, history can handle the fact that rate stats will be the same and counting stats will be different. We could see that in the future. I think it's something that fans are certainly on board with. Player health, you could argue that, have a slightly expanded postseason and a slightly, minimized regular season. We could see that, but I haven't heard any inkling from anybody but fans at this point.
We got Stephen Nesbitt. He writes baseball, senior writer for The Athletic, MLB. I just saw an article about Trevor Bauer that he's going to be eligible to come off of this never, what seems to be never-ending, I don't want to say suspension list, but where he can't participate. How does this end for Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers?
Yeah, it's interesting. So what has happened, and there's a really good article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday by Jared Diamond. If you want to check that out for some of the particulars. But basically, what we've seen in all other situations that include domestic violence or into this joint agreement between the MLB and MLBPA is guys have come to an agreement with the league. They have settled on a number of games for a suspension, and then they agree as part of that agreement that they aren't going to appeal it. Well, Trevor Bauer doesn't appear that he's going to be willing to waive an appeal. And so where we are at now with Trevor Bauer is he's not going to be, as of now, there's no indication that there's going to be any anything legal handed down. And so it's up to Major League Baseball to conclude its investigation into the situation and then decide if they think he should be suspended. And at that point, he certainly can appeal if he wants to. And he's already been sitting out since last July, I think it was. And so he's missed a lot of games. He's been making money that whole time. The suspension, in all likelihood, would be unpaid. And so he could appeal all sorts of things with the ruling. But basically, baseball still has not reached a point where it thinks it's done with its investigation and is ready to hand down a suspension if it's going to, or clear him to play. So I would expect that Trevor Bauer is going to keep pushing for a decision here, and then we'll see sort of what the Dodgers decide to do. Do they release him? Do they allow him back onto the team? And we'll see what Major League Baseball decides to do as far as a potential suspension penalty.
Do you see him pitching for the Dodgers this year?
I don't think so. They seem, well, first off, they're a juggernaut. They have the talent without him. You saw what Clayton Kershaw did. They're sort of fifth starter the other day. My thought is that they are going to decide the headache isn't worth it from a PR standpoint, from a fan standpoint, and from a standpoint that they're talented enough without him. Now, they are paying his money if he comes back and is making his regular salary. I mean, they've been paying his money since he left last summer. But I don't get the feeling, I don't get the sense that he's likely to go back to the Dodgers. That's not based on any inside information. That's just sort of a gut feeling. But if they decided to release him and he's eligible to play, did someone else pick him up? It's going to be them all weighing the calculus of what's it worth to our team and what's it worth from a PR standpoint.
If you thought that Deshaun Watson press conference was uncomfortable, wait till the Trevor Bauer of a team, new team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be wow. Yeah. That is Stephen Nesbitt right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 talking some Major League Baseball from The Athletic. We appreciate it, Stephen. Thanks for hanging with us.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. 713-780-3776 is the number. Let's get a call or three in here. Anything that we've talked about so far, and you're more than welcome to get in here. I'm live at the Lucille's 1913 big golf tournament at Harmon Park. We've been here. This is our second time that we've been here for it, and it is just awesome, awesome, awesome. Raising money. So we will talk about that in a little bit. But right now, I'm talking about absolute marble and granite. I'm looking at a fireplace right here that's just beautiful at Harmon Park, and they did a wonderful job, and it's all stone. And that's something that Jeff Aronoff can do for you. I don't talk about fireplaces too much, but, you know, it's marble, it's brick, it's stone, it's all of these things. And when you're talking about putting, the white stone or you want it to look natural or whatever the case may be, whatever it is that you're looking for, Jeff Aronoff can do it. I mean, he can put it out. He can put that fireplace outside for you. He can put a beautiful stone kitchen for you outside. Make that, if you're looking for that outdoor kitchen, it can just, right now, how wonderful they make it and how beautiful it is. It's unbelievable with woks and pizza ovens and everything else. And Jeff has all of the latest and greatest that you could possibly need. So he's going to help you pick it out. He's going to help design it for you. He's going to do all of the work. He is going to get this job done for you, whatever that big job is that makes your home or your business just look better. It's Jeff Aronoff. Got to be a big job. Ain't no small jobs for Jeff Aronoff. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
This is ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am live at Harmon Park. Lance is in Boston for the Boston Marathon. He's going to have to leave the show just a little bit earlier to get out there.
Yeah, I got to get out there to run. No,
you're not running.
I got to get out there.
Just don't even walk fast, please, so that you come back without a boot on.
I don't even like driving 26 miles. 26 miles is a lot to drive.
Yeah, and your wife is running. I can't even do that. With a bad knee, with a gimpy knee. I mean, that's dedication.
I'm worried for her. I hope she can. I hope she can finish, but if she, you know, we'll see how she does. But yeah, getting around, like, it's a really big deal here. The Boston Marathon is a big deal. A lot of people show up and just go cheer. I noticed in Chicago it's a big deal, in New York less so, in our city we're a little bit more spread out.
A bunch of people out there for ours.
Yeah, but it's nothing compared to these other ones I've been to. Like Houston's,
Houston's is the greatest.
Yeah, I do. My wife's front. It's not the greatest. It's probably not in the top 20.
Yeah,
but it's you run and you usually don't have, like, there's a couple of stretches where people cheer for you. I'm just being real. People don't show up. Like, you don't go to just cheer at the people. Literally go to New York Marathon to go cheer. In Chicago, you go out to cheer at a certain spot and party, obviously.
Sucks. Yeah.
Great. Get Boston is
That's
too.
Great.
Boston's in a straight line, though. You take off from, you know, basically 26 miles away, and they say, right now, you got to run all the way through this straight line, go all the way through, and then you'll get to the finish line. All right, good luck. And that's how that works. It's not, you know, in Houston, we're more spaced. I mean, quite frankly, the Houston Marathon is not really set up to be, you know, where people just pack the streets. But mostly people just say, marathon sucks. It ruins the roadways. It's harder to travel around. Here they get all excited about it. You know, here it's like, it's great. Yeah, they like it. They come out. It's a party. They drink. It's Patriots Day, so it's a whole big deal. And how about this? It's also opening day for the Red Sox at home. So they got their home opener. They got home opener for the Sox. So it's going to be a little bit crowded down there.
No. They've already played at home, apparently.
They have?
It's not the home opener.
You sure?
No. The opening series? Nah, I don't know. Noah says they've already played home games. I don't know. But I do know. I do know this. I saw some stories, Lance, this weekend about the draft. Anything that caught your eye? Anything changed from Friday when we talked about? Or you didn't hear Friday?
No, I wasn't here. I don't know what. What'd you get into?
That you're hearing? Any smoke that you're hearing?
So there are some injury stuff. Like, I expect Andrew Booth, cornerback from Clemson, to fall out of the first due to injury. He's got – well, I mean, it's not a secret. He had a sports – it's not a sports hernia. It's a core muscle injury, but it turns out he's had two surgeries on the same area. So when you see me not put Andrew Booth from Clemson in the first round, there's a reason for it. There's a few guys who have some potential injury concerns. He's the only one that I can think of right now where it could affect his – first round status that I know of. I don't believe the Malik Willis to the Lions talk. I'm not buying it. Although I do think that it is interesting, because I did have the Lions initially moving up to the Texan spot to take Malik Willis. So it's not like I don't, you know, you have one of two options. You can take quarterback at two if you want, and then figure out what you're going to do at 32. Or you could draft a pass rusher, and then, you know, you can either move up from 32 up in the draft and get a quarterback, which I think the Lions are in play to do that. If they don't draft a quarterback at number two, I think that's just them sniffing around to see if there's anybody desperate. But some of the info that came out, and it follows along with what you and I talked about, John. I don't know if you saw this or not, but the Carolina Panthers now are rumored to be front runners to land Baker Mayfield. And you and I talked about, that's really the perfect landing spot for Baker Mayfield. It's really one of the only landing spots, because it's a ready-made spot to step in and start. It's not a team that has a, you know, it's not a fan base that is an overly aggressive fan base. I mean, they all love Cam Newton still, so I guess he's still going up against the ghost of Cam. But other than that, the media is not too rough down there. It's pretty much the perfect spot for Baker Mayfield. So I could see Baker Mayfield there. In fact, John, I think that's where he will end up, and I think Carolina Panthers will pass on quarterback, which I had them passing on quarterback anyway. I think they're going to go with offensive linemen, and if you put Baker Mayfield there, I mean, frankly, he'll be more ready than Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett to win right away. He understands the game, and you can crap on Baker if you want to, but he's not a bad quarterback. He's just not a good quarterback. He's just an average quarterback at best.
No, I could see that, but I'm not giving up much for him, that's for sure, especially paying him that 18.
The Kayvon Thibodeau stuff is real, by the way. Listen, I'm just going to give it to y'all real. I know people are going to tell you, and Ryan Wilson said this too. Ryan Wilson said, you know, it's getting to the point where I'm not sure. I talked to a scout, and he's not even sure. He believes 75% of the stuff out there. I'm just telling you now, this isn't about smokescreen or all that. Kayvon has got a personality that does not teams don't love him who have had him in for working out. The Lions won't touch him. He's not going to be going to two. And from what I've been told, the Texans aren't going to touch him. The Texans aren't. He doesn't fit. He doesn't fit a building culture. This has nothing to do with Jack Easterby. It's really more about teams are not in on him as a committed member of a team. This is what I've been told, that it's really more about Kayvon Thibodeau, me, and it's not about team. That's the vibe that people get off of him. There was some stuff coming out of, you know, from scouts on the West Coast who told me during the year when I was looking into it that he was a player who, you know, frankly was just more worried about his not only his brand. He does work out in the weight room, stuff like that, but Oregon, let's just say Oregon coddled him a lot. And they did the same thing with Penei Sewell as well. So I think that's a concern. I think Thibodeau's going to fall.
You think Thibodeau's falling? Huh?
Yeah.
By the way, yeah, three home games already for the Red Sox. They played the Twins this weekend. Let me ask you a question. Under, over, Carlos Correa, OPS right now. Under, over, 512.
Hold on. I had housekeeper coming right now. She's giving me the business. Ask me the question again. I had to run over.
Carlos
there.
Correa, under, over, OPS, 512.
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm going to go over.
Sorry, it's 512. So you,
you're
you
trying
wrong.
To.
It's right.
You red or black? I'll go black. Wrong, green.
Wrong. It went green. It went 0-0.
It went 0-0.
So you lose. Let me ask you a question.
Hold on. I get confused. I know I'm a numbers guy, but is 512 good? Like, is it the lower the better or the higher the better?
Let me ask
OPS?
You a question. If you have four hits in 30 at-bats, is that good? Let me ask you a question. If you have one home run in 30 at-bats, is that good? If you have 13 strikeouts in 30 at-bats, is that good?
Ooh, 13 is like John Singleton high.
If
that's Singletonian.
If your average is 182, you're on base. Excuse me. Your average is 133. Your on base is 212, and your slugging is 300. Is that good?
Is he what we call the notoriously slow starter?
I don't know about that. I don't know if he's a notorious slow starter, but he's in Boston today. Why don't you go to the game today and see him? And
I got love for Carlos. I got love for Carlos.
Well,
I got more love for my wife, though.
Let me ask you this.
Carlos left me. My wife is still here.
Are these better numbers? Average 345, on base 375, slugging 621, and a 996 OPS. Which is better?
Here we go.
Which is better? I'm just asking you a question.
You're going to pretend like Jeremy Pena is better than Carlos. Here we go.
If you have three-hit games versus a guy who has four total hits this season, which is better?
I mean, listen, let's have this conversation here in a month. It might look a little different.
It might.
Carlos is off to a slow start, but, I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I hope Jeremy Pena has a better season than Carlos. Carlos isn't my guy anymore. He's done. Good luck to Carlos. I got love for him for all of eternity. But I don't have – and I'm glad he's with the Twins because they're insignificant. But, I mean, I'm a Jeremy Pena guy now. It is what it is. I'm not this generation. You're talking to the wrong man, and you're the same way, John. We come from a generation where you cheer for the team. You don't just wear the jersey and
no.
you switch from team to team to team. I rock with my team, and my team, I'm not – hey, good luck to Carlos, but I'm not a LeBron fan.
I'm staying with one team, and my squad is the Astros. And whoever's my shortstop is my shortstop. And Carlos isn't my shortstop anymore. Jeremy Pena is my shortstop. So case closed. I want Jeremy Pena to do better than Carlos. I don't need to wear a Carlos jersey everywhere he goes. That's not who I'm not in that generation. Y'all can keep being those jersey chasers. I'm going to keep wearing the same jersey, even though I don't wear an actual jersey, of whoever my guys are who play for the actual Astros. And that ain't Carlos Correa anymore. So, you know, I mean, I'll keep track of them. And obviously, John, we're keeping track because here, how much money could Carlos have cost the Astros versus Pena? So it's relevant. It's certainly relevant. You brought it up, 150th. You've already got a number for it. That's relevant. And it matters that Jim Crane may have come out here and made a good decision financially, not just for himself, but for the construction of this ball team moving forward. Because if you had gone short-term with Carlos Correa, let's say you got him for $33 million a year and he had an out after 1 year, that's one fewer year that Jeremy Pena has. He's already a 24-year-old rookie. That's one fewer year that he has to develop as your shortstop of the future. I mean, obviously, we're not even like 3 weeks into the baseball season, John, but at this particular point, Jim Crane is on a pretty good trajectory in terms of his decision-making for that shortstop position.
Yeah. No. Right now, for 150th of the price, it's looking like a pretty good bargain, that Jeremy Pena thing. 933 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. But is it próximo? That's what I'm asking. Is it próximo?
Oh, man. So we have I saw some at a bar we were at the other day. I saw some Maestro Dobel, and I was having a different cocktail at the time, and I saw that, and we had already gotten past last call, so I wasn't able to get the Maestro. I would have gotten they had the silver. They did not have the Añejo. The Añejo is my favorite to sip. The silver is great to sip as well. But what I'm trying to tell you is, if you're a tequila fan, if you love Reposados, if you love the Añejos, the smoothness of the Añejo, if you love the even the distinct flavors of the Jumito, which is a smoked silver, you are going to absolutely love the Cristalino, which is called the Diamante. The Cristalino takes three different varieties of tequilas. They blend them. They charcoal filter them. There's a whole process and time frame that they go through in terms of the aging process. And the result on the other side is a distinctly delicious, flavorful tequila with a great profile, one that is a very distinct profile. And that's why it's its own category called Cristalino. They invented it. And other places are now jumping into the Cristalino game as well. Not surprising. You're following the Maestro. You're trying to copy the Maestro. I get it. I mean, big ups to you. I respect the hustle, but you're not going to do it better than Maestro Dobel. Maestro Dobel, varieties that you can count on if you're a tequila fan. You're going to find something that is right for you. Get multiple bottles. Find multiple varieties to fit your different moods and vibes and cocktails and margaritas that you're looking for. It's Maestro Dobel. Wherever fine tequila is sold, Maestro Dobel.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Houston is all systems go! We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. We're Texas proud and we shout it loud. Our brand of baseball is great. Our outfield has plenty of muscle. Our guys can sure hit a ton. For Minute Maid thrills, watch them hustle. Catching hard hit balls on the run. Our infield is solid and steady. Making big plays.
What? You excited about opening day? I know you're in Boston.
It's not opening day, but yeah, opening series for the Astros at home.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I want to find, it's a night game, so I'm hoping to find, we've got a dinner reservation here in Boston to celebrate my wife, but running a marathon. But Chris Solis and I are very interested in locking in on the game, so that's that. We will have our phones at the table watching a game. That's just going to happen. There's nothing
absolutely
you can do about it.
Absolutely
nothing you can do about it. But by the way, you've got the Astros back at home. To refresh some of the things we talked about earlier in the show for those who missed it, any concern over Jose Altuve? So John brought this up. I know Jeremy Branham talked about him being on the quote-unquote backside of his career. I think that's fair for a player who's been in the league since he was 21 and he's 32 now. It's, you know, you're not usually necessarily in your prime when you're in your 12th year in the league. I think it's fair to say he's on the backside of his career when you look at the expected length of career. I don't think that necessarily means that we should expect massive drops off in productivity. I don't think, you know, usually when you say the backside of the career, you expect, I think James Harden is on the backside of his career potentially. And maybe there is a, maybe there's a correlation between what Harden's going to do and what Jose Altuve is going to do. Think about that, John. I hadn't thought about that, but
no, there's no,
I think Harden is going to step up and have some.
Been a star in the postseason. I mean, he did. He has.
No, I'm not. I didn't say they're the same player. I'm saying what you're expecting from them moving forward. I could see Harden having great, you know, great. Obviously, Altuve has balls. James is not a balls player in the postseason, but I could see good, 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 bad, bad, maybe not as good. Like where the performance in the year, you go, not the same as this guy once was 2 or 3 years ago. I could see that with Jose Altuve.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't expect Jose Altuve to be a 315, 320 hitter anymore. No, I just don't.
No, he's not anymore.
He's not. He's just not. And is he on the backside? Yes. Jose and Jeremy Branham called a bunch of crap for it, but he, I mean, I don't think you're splitting the atom here. I mean, it's not. This is not brain surgery. Jose Altuve is 11 years into the league now. I mean, you can't expect him to. And you know, a lot of that was relied. He relied on speed. He got a bunch of hits with being able to run down. And he's not. He can't run like he did like he used to. Doesn't steal any bases anymore. You know, obviously your bat is going to slow down. And he's swinging at a lot of bad pitches. They're getting him out with a lot of junk and filth. And you know that might be the book on Jose Altuve now. Throw that Biggio slider away, and guess what's going to happen? He's going to go chase it, and you can get Jose Altuve out now. I think Jose Altuve is going to be a 270 hitter in that neighborhood. He's got a long way to go from a start, but he you know him. He can just get on fire. Is he going to be a 300 hitter? I don't know. I don't know that that's going to happen. Kyle Tucker, a notoriously slow starter, was a slow starter last year and just dominated the game after that. And I fully expect him to be better. I expect Bregman to be better than this 259 he's sitting at right now. I expect Maldonado to be better than 059. I expect Yordan to be a better hitter. I expect Uncle Mike to be a better hitter. I expect just about everybody except Pena and McCormick to be a better hitter than they have been so far. And finally, they're going to get to come home. You know, we do a thing where you you predict how many runs a team is going to score in a week. We do this at this bar that I go to, and you predict the number of runs that the team is going to score, the Astros are going to score this week. I predicted 34. They scored 11. So I predicted that they would, you know, have a big, big week in Arizona, and they put up, you know, four. And then I expected them to have, you know, MASH in Seattle, and they actually scored seven. So it wasn't, you know, now you're home, though, and I fully expect in Minute Maid. Now, you are facing Toronto, and that's not going to be easy. You got Kikuchi, who is good, Stripling and Manoah. You're going to face those guys. You've got to face Ohtani as well. But I expect them to get to Lorenzen and Sandoval over these first two games, win these first two games against the Angels. But I fully expect this team to hit much better than it is. And listen, you can't blame this that Carlos Correa isn't here anymore, because Jeremy Pena is hitting much better than Carlos Correa would have if he's here. He's got a 933 OPS right now. Jeremy Pena is getting the job done. That's not the problem. The problem is that these guys, I don't know if it's the shortened. Are the pitchers ahead of the hitters right now in the rest of Major League Baseball? I don't think so. I think it's just this Astros team that's just notoriously. So we seen, remember the first week of the season a couple of years ago, Lance? We're like, oh, my God, what's wrong with this team? And then they exploded for the best offense in Major League history. So this team is going to be better. All of these guys are going to be better, except maybe Jeremy Pena and Chaz McCormick.
Yeah, I think no, I'm certainly not worried about the team at all. That's not a worry. But I am, you know, what I am worried about is what I'm worried about every single year, which is the bullpen. You know, Brian Abreu is struggling again. This has been a long, you know, scrub had his little moment in 20, and then 21 was a scrub. And then this year, it's you know, Abreu is a guy who had a live arm. There was big expectations for him. He just wasn't good when he came in 20. He wasn't ready in 21. And just this year, he's off to a bad start again. I have no confidence in him. Baez, his arm has never bounced back and jumped back the way it should, you know, the way it should have been. You've got Presley hurt right now. I don't know, John. You lost. You've got Maton back, which is great. But when you look at the bullpen, I do think that is a legitimate concern. That is the area that you are most likely to be able to tighten up with trade deadline, certainly. But I do have a concern. If you're really putting a lot of pressure for your starters to be six plus inning guys, and they need to be much more consistent and really pitch well so that you can hang on to some of these games, because what we've seen here over the last few, they've lost four of the last five, the Astros have, and what we've seen is the Astros are, there's a three of four, four or five they've lost. What we've seen, though, John, is what's happening three with the four. Bullpen is you're getting off to a bad start with the starter, or the starter has an inning like Urquidy had where he got death by a thousand paper cuts until a home run by France, but you're not having guys who keep the game where it needs to be. And that's my concern, is keeping it there so that the Astros offense can do their thing. So I am a little concerned about the bullpen. And I know it's early, but it's not a brand-new concern. It's not like it's a new concern and I'm panicking. This has been a consistent concern, especially for this group of players. But there are some new pitchers, there's no question. But there are other guys, to me, that I'm not sure that we'll even see them by the time June hits.
Yeah.
That are currently on the roster.
We know you got to go. I'm going to do News of the Weird with Noah out here and ask him some uncomfortable questions. So you get to dodge that bullet today. So you got to go. Go see Nicole run the Boston or whatever marathon you're at the greatest in the world.
As opposed to Houston's
marathon, which is awesome, and it's you downplay, and you are a terrible Houstonian. But other than that, go ahead. But first, get your wife a little of this QC Kinetics.
Well, and that's the thing, is she's really struggling right now with her preparation for the Boston Marathon because she's got the bone-on-bone knee condition, and it's where there is a severe deterioration of cartilage. But this is the great thing. This company, QC Kinetics, we're going to get her there after the Boston Marathon because QC Kinetics, this is great. I've done the research on this as well. There's new therapies, advanced all-natural regenerative treatments that are not only they don't just give you pain relief, but they can restore and repair damaged tissue for long-lasting relief. If you've got joint pain due to arthritis or knee pain or hip pain, shoulder pain, don't just think of the old ways of dealing with that, which are going to be steroid injections and a surgery. That's typically what you look at. Well, guess what? You can get long-lasting relief with a regenerative, restorative process that is really a huge advancement. And you need to learn more about these new biological therapy solutions. Make sure that you get a hold of my friends over at QC Kinetics and get your free consultation because they are here to take care of you. You don't have to, so many of us will just live, especially guys. We just try to live with that pain, right? Just live through it. No big deal. I'll just fight on through it. Well, that's not going to work for you. You need to find someone who can help you. And these new natural treatments can do this without the need for steroids or surgery. So make sure that you give them a call at 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, well, Lance is gone. I am live at Herman Park. We are here for the Lucille's 1913 golf tournament. Lucille's1913.com is where you can help out. It's for hot meals. They're getting hot meals for people, for the homeless and those who need it, indigent, throughout the city. So if you're somebody that would like to donate, would like to be a part of it, even if you can't be out here today, you can still donate at Lucille's1913.com. Lucille's1913.com. So great event, great raising money to make hot meals for people in the city, and we know there are plenty of people that need it. All right, we are running out of time here. Noah is out here. Lance is gone. Noah, let me ask you a question. Do you know what persistence means? Means, yeah.
Kind of not giving up.
Won't give up. This is, I got the definition. The Dublin airport received 13,569 complaints about their noise last year. 12,272 came from the same person. That is almost 34 calls a day to the Dublin airport about their noise. Do you think that's a life you want to live?
No, it sounds like they got a serious Karen issue over there in Ireland.
It does sound like Karen, or a really old man that just is just somebody who... 30... I mean, and you have to do this every single day. Call 30... There is no one in the world that I would call 34 times a day. There's no one in the world I would call twice a day for a year. No one. Zero. Let alone 30. And this, just to complain. You are persistent, sir. You are my hero. A parent dresses an Easter bunny in Austin, handing out condoms at the elementary school. Do you think that you should dress as the Easter bunny to hand out condoms? Or... do you think maybe you should pick high school next time?
Yeah, you said elementary?
Elementary school.
Yeah, I'd probably wait till high school, maybe middle school, maybe. Even then, that's pushing.
Do you think you should dress up as the Easter Bunny with condoms?
No, I don't see how that improves the message.
Have you ever tried to impress a girl?
Yeah.
Do you think that if it's bumper-to-bumper traffic, driving on the shoulder would impress her?
No. Probably give her some serious anxiety.
You think you should drive 112 miles an hour on the shoulder?
I don't think you should do that regardless.
112 miles an hour on the shoulder in the left lane of I-95 and kicked up all kinds of debris. He was clocked at 112 miles an hour. I don't think he was very impressive because he ended up in jail.
And that's such the emergency lane, the shoulder is such a small, like, you have a lot of room for error there.
I don't know in Melbourne what their shoulders are like. It just seems like that might not be safe.
Yeah.
To me, that's not that impressive to a girl. Unless she wants to see you arrested.
She's going to have a hard time seeing you if that's the case. So
sounds
like a lose-lose to me.
Well, when you get out, you'll know if she likes you if she's waiting for you when you get out. We're done. We appreciate Lucille's 1913 here at Hermit Park. If you want to donate, 1913.com. Lucille's 1913.com. That's Lucille's 1913.com. We will be back in studio tomorrow. Vanessa and Gallant next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a great day, everybody.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.